When you are free, you live a life that sets other people free.
God has more for you than you can ever imagine.
Three words: hope, health, and healing.
Amen by myself.
Welcome to Midtown.
Hey, Midtown family, this is Pastor Ephraim, and Happy New Year 2023. And so I want to launch a new sermon series. I teased this sermon series just a little bit last Sunday, but I want to really dive into this new series called Joy and Pain, and it's about finding God's goodness in difficult times. Joy and pain, finding God's goodness in difficult times. Now, some of y'all might be some R&B fans, some Maze featuring Frankie Beverly fans. And so you know that song, Joy and Pain. It's like sunshine and rain. And that's true. So we're going to discover what the Word of God has to say about joy and pain. So I want to invite you to go with me to Philippians in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, the writer Paul says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. From that text, I want to speak to you on the title, Finding Joy. Finding Joy. God, I pray that this would be your message, that ultimately you would be speaking, and I would just be the vessel, the vehicle that you have decided to use to say what you want to say. To these, your beloved children, my sisters and brothers, God, I desire to be obedient to your word. So please let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Finding joy. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I liked to pretend. Yeah, I liked to pretend that I was a superhero. I remember taking a sheet or a blanket or a big old towel, and I would tie it around my neck, and I would go out into the backyard and pretend I was Superman or pretend I was Batman. I like to pretend. Sometimes as a child, I would pretend I was a pro athlete. And sometimes I would go in the backyard and I would be the quarterback, and then I'd go back to pass and I'd throw the ball high in the air, and then I would become the wide receiver on the football team, and I would catch it and I'd score a touchdown. I like to pretend. Sometimes I would pretend I was a famous singer. And then there were times when I would pretend I was one of my family members. I might pretend I was my dad, or I might pretend I was one of my grandfathers, or I might pretend I was one of my uncles. I like to pretend. But you know, as you get older, there comes times when pretending isn't good. I mean, the older you get, the further you go in life, pretending just doesn't work. And one of the things that's not healthy for us, sisters and brothers, is to pretend that things are okay when they're not okay. To pretend that everything's going well when it's not going well. To pretend that life is just full of joy and there's no pain. That's not a good thing. See, pretending that the Christian life will eliminate discomfort, suffering, and pain is not a good thing, because it's just not true. You know, there are some places where it's preached, where it's taught, like you become a Christian and everything you do is going to go well. You're going to prosper in all things at all times. You know, you're not going to get sick. You know, you're going to be wealthy in the American way of defining what wealth is. And so some people get discouraged. they get to a place of crisis in their faith. They hit a faith wall. They stop believing in God. I know some people that were Christians, followers of Christ, and they experience tremendous suffering, pain, a crisis, and they threw in the towel on believing in God. See, the Christian life doesn't eliminate discomfort and suffering, but maybe it gives us the ability to navigate suffering and pain. See, there's this American myth, that you can find a societal space without suffering. I mean, if we're honest, that's how the suburbs were created. The suburbs were initially constructed as a place where you don't have to lock your doors, where all your neighbors are kind, where you can get away from those people. You can get away from those circumstances. Some people, not all, but some people were scared, intimidated out of their urban homes, their city homes, into newly constructed suburbs off of the belief that these other people were coming and they were bringing crime and danger and discomfort and suffering, pain, crisis. So we got to move out to this place out there somewhere where there's no suffering, where there's no pain and discomfort. I am not preaching against the suburbs. I'm not preaching against living outside the inner city. I live outside the inner city myself, so I can't do that. But I can say that there's this American myth that you can find this societal space without suffering, without discomfort. There's also a Christian myth, sisters and brothers, that you can find a religious space without sin, without conflict. So some people bounce from church to church because as soon as they hear something that's uncomfortable to them, as soon as they hear something conflicting, they leave. Or as soon as they have conflict with somebody in a church, they leave. Now, I want to be very careful here. Sisters and brothers, I want to be very careful. I am not saying if you're in an abusive church, you should stay there. You should not. If you are under an abusive leader, get out of there. If you're in an abusive, manipulative, religious space, get out of there as soon as possible. Find a healthier religious space to be in. Find a healthier church to be in. That of course. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that leave the church because they heard 27 sermons that they liked, and then they heard one that they didn't agree with, and then they left. Or they had a conflict with some people in the church. They had a disagreement with some people in the church. There's some people in the church that didn't vote the way they voted. There's some people in the church they don't see eye to eye with, and they go, "I'm out." No. That's a myth. If you're leaving based on those reasons, that's this Christian myth that you can find this perfect church, this religious space without sin. That's not true. Because the real Christian life is not about the elimination of discomfort, suffering, pain. The real, authentic Christian life, sisters and brothers, is about growing in faith, purpose, and joy while also experiencing suffering and pain. See, God uses storms to grow us. There's two things I know in the Bible about God and storms. One, I know storms don't throw God off, because there's a New Testament story in the Gospels of there being a storm, and Jesus is on a boat during the storm, and Jesus is in the boat sleeping. So storms don't trouble God. Storms don't throw God off. They throw us off. And so God is not thrown off by the storms of life. God can actually use the storms of life to teach us lessons, to grow us, to mature us, to heal us, to make us better, to give us greater clarity on who we are. The real Christian life is about growing in faith, purpose, and joy while also experiencing suffering and pain. We're reading from the book of Philippians. The Philippians, by some scholars, is called the letter of joy. Because in this letter, Paul is calling Christians to rejoice while experiencing suffering. It's a call to a life of joy and pain. Yeah. And the interesting thing is, Paul is writing this letter while he's suffering. He's incarcerated. And he's writing this letter to a people who are facing difficulty because of their faith in Jesus, and he's calling them to joy while they're suffering. So we have to explore biblically joy and pain, or joy and suffering. So I want you to know that there's a difference between biblical joy and cultural joy, worldly joy. There's a difference between biblical suffering and how we understand suffering outside of Scripture. So let me talk about what I mean by that. So biblical joy. How is biblical joy different? Well, it's unique and distinctive from it's not primarily about an emotion, a feeling that you and I are able to manufacture ourselves. Joy biblically is more than a feeling I can manufacture in my own power, in my own heart. Biblical joy is a joy that comes from the Lord, not simply the human heart. It's a joy that comes from knowing, experiencing, and trusting the fellowship of Christ's suffering and the power of his resurrection. Because we are Christ followers. That's what it means to be a Christian. So our understanding of joy and our understanding of suffering should be informed by who Jesus is, what Jesus did, what Jesus experienced. Because we're Christ followers. We're Christ imitators. And so we're like Christ. We're not Christ, but we're like Christ. And so to be like Christ means to align my thinking, to align my navigating of life in some meaningful way with who Jesus was and who Jesus is. So a joy, remember this now, that comes from knowing, experiencing, and trusting the fellowship of Christ's suffering and the power of his resurrection. And then this biblical joy is something that we as Christ followers express. We live out in some meaningful way God's goodness, God's joy in our lives. So I'm not talking about worldly joy, just a feeling, an emotion, a pretending even sometimes. This manufacturing of, it's going to be okay. Everything is great. Everything is fine. People ask you how you're doing, and you just give them the answer. I'm blessed. Of course you are. I'm highly favored. Of course you are. I'm doing great. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, but come on. Just because you're a Christian, just because you're a person of faith, just because you have been born again, made new, doesn't mean you don't experience pain, discomfort, weariness, tiredness, tears that you can't stop. And you know why you experience that? Because Jesus experienced it too. Jesus experienced pain. Jesus experienced suffering. Jesus experienced discomfort. Jesus experienced weariness because Jesus was truly human and truly God. So we talked about joy. Let me give you a biblical understanding of suffering. Biblical understanding of suffering. Suffering, biblically, is to be understood as a product of sin. Suffering, biblically, is not separated from sin. Now, that doesn't mean you're suffering because you sinned. It means you're suffering because sin exists. Now, there may be times in your life, in my life, where we are suffering because of our own sin, our own sinful choices. But there's also times when we're suffering, we're feeling pain and discomfort, not because because we sinned, but because sin is real, because sin exists. Because sin, it goes against God. So sin causes conflict with God. Sin brings about conflict with one another. So suffering exists in our lives because of sin in all its dimensions. Sin in the soul, so that's sin in me, or sin in you. Sin in society, which means the world is not right. Society is broken. We can live in a great nation, the United States of America, and you know what? The United States of America is a sinful country. Why? Because the entire world is contaminated with sin. The entirety, there's no place, no nation, no village, no city. There's no, I get to the end of this dirt road and there's no sin. And no, the world is contaminated with sin. And so because of sin in the soul, sin in society, sin in Satan, suffering is a product of sin against God, against each other, in our world. So how do we experience suffering, pain, because we're in a sinful world, and find joy, biblical joy, a joy that I can't manufacture, but it comes from God. A joy that keeps me stable, a joy that keeps me rooted, a joy that gives me hope, a joy that moves me forward, a joy that draws me closer to God, a joy that creates beautiful, beloved community in the midst of a broken world. How do you find joy in a world of pain and suffering? That's the question. Yes, that's the question. How do you find joy in a world of pain and suffering? So let me just give you 3 points. I won't hold you much longer here on how you find joy in a world of pain and suffering. 1, find a reason to be grateful. If you're going to find joy in a world of pain and suffering, you got to find a reason to be grateful. Let's go to Philippians 1, verse 1 through 8. Philippians 1, verse 1 through 8. It says this: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Find a reason to be grateful. Paul finds a place of gratitude while he's in prison. So yes, Paul writes this letter while he is incarcerated. But yet he's talking about this joy that he has. He's talking about this affection, this love that he has for the people in the church at Philippi. He's saying, even though I'm in chains, you are in my heart. Whether I'm defending and confirming the gospel that I share with you in grace, he's like, man, I have joy for y'all. I'm writing this letter with a place of joy. So if we're going to find joy in a world of pain and suffering, we have to find a reason to be grateful. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you're experiencing pain right now. I don't know if you're experiencing physical pain, if you're experiencing pain from headaches or stress or anxiety, having a hard time sleeping, just you're irritated and you don't even know why. I mean, but you got to find a reason to be grateful. What do I have to be grateful for? You're alive. God woke you up this morning. You didn't do all that. I know you think you woke yourself up. I know you think an alarm clock woke you up. The alarm on your cell phone woke you up. No, God woke you up. You are still alive because of God. That's a reason to be grateful. The old folks used to say, you're still on this side of dirt. You ought to be grateful. Be grateful. One more day. Be grateful. You're made in the image of God. Be grateful. You're gifted. Be grateful. You are loved by God. Be grateful. You got a roof over your head? Be grateful. You have food in your belly? Be grateful. You had some water today? Be grateful. You have clothes on your back? Be grateful. Find a reason to be grateful. Paul finds a place of gratitude while he's in prison. See, being alive, if nothing else, just being alive ought to activate a thanksgiving in you and I. You're still here. Be grateful. Be grateful. Point two, how do you find joy in a world of pain and suffering? One, find a reason to be grateful. Two, find purpose while suffering. Find purpose while suffering. Philippians 1, beginning with verse 12, says this. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does that matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. This brother, I told you, he's incarcerated, but yet he's talking about rejoicing. You have to find purpose while suffering. Maybe you lost a loved one, but is there a purpose you can find even in that tough situation? You lost your job, but can you repurpose yourself? Can you find a new purpose? Maybe God is calling you into a new direction. A new career. Maybe God's calling you to go back to school. Maybe God's calling you to get a new certification. Maybe God's calling you to get new skills, new abilities. I don't know. But I know this. I don't wish to suffer. I know that. I don't believe you wish to suffer either. We don't wish to suffer, but we can find a godly purpose while going through suffering. When you're going through pain, when you're in the valley, there's an opportunity to find purpose. There's an opportunity to find a reason for moving forward. The people that are defeated by suffering, the people that are totally taken out by pain, by discomfort, are the people that can't find a way forward. They can't find a purpose. They can't find a meaning. And there's an opportunity that, though we don't wish to suffer, that we can survive. And we can survive because we get clarity of purpose, my reason for being. While Paul is incarcerated, the gospel is liberating people. He's in chains. People are finding Christ. And he's like, you know what? Some of the people that are finding Christ and the way they're talking about Christ, the way they're preaching about Christ, you know what? The motives are bad. He's like, but at least Christ is being preached. Because here's the thing. I know some people that became Christians under teaching that wasn't very good. But because they said yes to Christ, they eventually found their way to good teaching. I know some people that became Christians in unhealthy churches. I know people that became Christians through hearing a pastor that eventually went to prison. But because they found Christ, even if the circumstances around how they found Christ wasn't completely healthy, they still found a place where they could become a healthy Christian, where they could become a mature Christian, where they could grow. And so Paul is saying whether people came to Christ in a very healthy, great, loving environment, or in some cases, if people came to Christ under people with bad, selfish motives, if Christ is being preached, I still have a reason to rejoice. Because I'm believing Christ being preached is going to lead to something good. That's my hope. That's my belief. Find purpose while suffering. Finally, how do we find joy in a world of pain and suffering? One, find a reason to be grateful. Two, find purpose while suffering. And three, find God in the pain. Find God in the pain. That's where I began. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Man, there is so much stuff here in those verses. Man, it's so rich. Find God in the pain. Paul, he's concluding this letter. We just about went through the entirety of the letter of Philippians right here in this message. So he's concluding the letter now. He's coming to his conclusion, just like I am in this sermon. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. He's saying, stand firm in your rejoicing, sisters and brothers. Oh, man, how do you do that? How do you not be anxious? How do you stay in prayer? How do you petition God with thanksgiving? Not just coming to God complaining about what hasn't happened and what prayer God didn't answer for you, but you're praying with thanksgiving. Well, I think to have that kind of joy, to live like that, you have to find the peace of God in the God of peace. Yeah, you have to find the peace of God in the God of peace. What I mean by that is this joy that Paul is calling the church to, I can't produce in my own power. Not only can I not produce the joy in my own power, I can't handle the pain of living in a sinful world in my own power. I need intimacy with God. I need deep connection with God. This can't just be a religious experience for me. This can't just be a religious exercise for me. I cannot just simply go through the motions and say, yeah, I got a Bible. Yeah, I go to church sometimes. Yeah, I tune into church online. Yeah, I pray before I eat. It's got to be more than that. It has to be a deep, intimate relationship with God. But here's the good news. If you're a Christian, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is living in you. The Holy Spirit is living in me, which means I have an opportunity to get in tune with God out here, because God's creator of the universe, but in here, because God has taken residence in me. But I got to find that. You know, there's stuff about me that I don't lean into. I don't become aware of it if I don't utilize it. Like I can easily just lose track of my pinky toe. But I'm actually utilizing my pinky toe when I'm walking. So sometimes when I'm walking, sometimes if I stiffen up, you know, and you know, I go, oh yeah, there's the pinky toe. Almost forgot about him. There's the pinky toe. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is in you. But you've got to lean into that. You've got to tap into that. You've got to get quiet enough to know that you are more than just simply your physical being. Find the peace of God in the God of peace. Also, I want to say this. When in the dark, find the light. You know, on New Year's Day weekend, last weekend, the power went out in my house. So on New Year's Eve, 7 p.m., power went out. There was a huge storm all over Sacramento area. And towards the end of the block where I live, a huge tree, because of the storm, it fell across the entire street, and the top of the tree fell on like power lines. And so the power went out in houses all over the place where I live. So what do you do when you're in the dark? You find light. We start searching for flashlights. Got to find the light. Where are the flashlights at? Let's find it. Where are the candles at? Let's find the candles. Let's light them. When you're in the dark, you find the light. Now, this is what is interesting. When you're outside, it's never fully dark. Now, if you're in your house and you go in the closet and you close the door, there's no windows, yeah, then it's like what they call pitch black. It's like it's totally dark. But if you're outside, when God was creating the universe, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, God hung the stars. God created the moon and the sun. But let's talk about the moon. Like when it's nighttime, it's never completely dark because God created the universe that even at nighttime, there's still some light. Wow. So it's never completely dark. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care the suffering. I don't care the pain. It is not completely dark on your life. No, it's not. No, it's not. Find the light. Find the light. Look up. Because that's where God put the light in creation. Up above our heads. Yes, find the light. Sisters and brothers, as I come to my close, you know, when it comes to joy and pain, I have to admit one of the reasons why I struggle sometimes in sustaining godly joy, the reason I have trouble sometimes expressing joy is because I got low pain tolerance. That's the problem. Yep. I have low pain tolerance. I'm ashamed of it. I wish it wasn't true. I don't even like a hangnail. Man, I stub my toe. I'm out. You know what I mean? If the doctor asked me on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, what's the pain? I'd be like, 11, 11. I have low pain tolerance. So you know what you do when you live in a broken world and you have low pain tolerance? You have to find the one who has high pain tolerance. And I don't know anyone who had the pain tolerance of Jesus. Jesus. They arrested Jesus. They beat him publicly. The beating that Jesus received, the lashes to his bare back, the lashes he received on his chest and stomach and arms. I don't know how that didn't kill him. I don't know. I don't read in the scripture. Maybe Jesus passed out, but I don't read about it in scripture. That they whipped Jesus and they whipped Jesus and they whipped Jesus and he passed out. Maybe he did, but I don't think there's any verses in here that say he passed out. So I'm going, what kind of pain tolerance? They whipped him. I don't understand why he didn't die. They put him in prison. His body's ripped open. Why didn't he die from some infection? I mean, how were they treating his wounds? while he was in prison? I'm trying to find the verses on that. Open wounds? How did he sleep? Did he lay? If he laid on his back, if he laid on his stomach, if he laid on his side, he had been whipped so bad that there was no way he could lay and sleep and not feel pain. Then, after all that, they march him up to Golgotha. He went up on a hill. Part of the way he had to carry the cross on his back. That had to be painful. And then when he couldn't do that, they put the cross on somebody else's back for a while. But they were still making him go up to the hill of his death. That had to be painful. Lay him on the cross. They drive nails in his hands, nails in his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He is pierced in the side. You have to have high pain tolerance. High pain tolerance. I need the one who bore the full brunt of our sins. When I'm going through painful times, I need a Savior who has high pain tolerance. And so do you. So I pray that as you start out this new year, 2023, that you would know that you can say yes to the Savior, the one who bore all the pain in order to bear all the sin of humanity. Life is full of pain and suffering, but you and I can get stronger. We can get better. We can become more mature. We can find purpose, and we can have a sustainable joy. Let that be our truth for 2023. God bless you. I love you. God loves you more. And I hope that you'll join us again next week. Peace.
Thank you so much for tuning into Midtown Church. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for weekly messages to stay rooted in the Word and for a dose of hope, health, and healing in your life. Want to get more connected to Midtown Church? Just visit us online at midtownchurch.org.